Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome. This is Way of the Dreamer, the show which affirms the power of dreams, coincidence, and imagination. We have a wonderful guest today. His name is Gary White. He's a composer, a former music professor, a world traveler, co-author of a fabulous series of books about places of power all over the globe. I call him a permanent walkabout man, actually. We'll see a response to that in a moment, because he's such an indefatigable traveler. He even seems to be able to do it in his shutdown times. He's also, I must say, a teacher of active dreaming. He did the training with me, with his wonderful wife, Ellen. He's another dream traveler in Barcelona. He and Ellen moved back from Spain, from Catalonia, to the American Southwest this year. And I guess his intuition and his dowsing mind, as he calls it, helped him with that. So he calls himself, he and his wife, Ellen, call themselves Imaginauts, the business travelers in the realms of imagination. The prompt for this particular conversation, we've had a wonderful conversation with Gary before, is his new book. The title is The Dowsing Mind. The subtitle is Into the Multidimensional Realms and Back, one of my favorite themes. And we'll get to talk about that with Gary. Welcome back, Gary.
Well, thank you.
First of all, tell us, because, you know, you and Ellen are such incredible world travelers. You discover such great things. Reading your new book, I was really delighted to follow you tracking the footsteps and the deer hoofs of Ellen of the Ways through Wales. I mean, I didn't know you'd done that. I mean, I know a bit about her. I haven't walked those trails as you and Ellen did, nor looked at the ruined castle where she might have been queen. But one of the things in this book, and let's go to this right away, is about how your dowsing mind, your ability to get messages through the instincts of the body as well as your intuition, guided you in the radical move of returning to the United States after many years of living in Spain on the very cusp of the pandemic. Talk to us a little about, this story is in your new book, The Dowsing Mind. Talk to us a little bit about the story. But it's on so many people's minds. I mean, how do we know that these terrible things are upon us? How do we know how to respond? Talk to us about how the instinct, the muscle testing, the intuitions you've developed, and your ability to capitalize on synchronicity, special signals coming from the world around you, helped you to get back to the United States from Spain, you know, just before it became impossible.
Okay. In the first place, I would say, when we started this trek into the U.S. again, the idea of a pandemic was far out on the horizon. It wasn't in our consciousness at all. We were invited back to do some work here and thought we rather liked being here. So we doused for it. I will say this, we doubt for nearly everything we do. It's just our normal operation. Anytime.
We'll come back and we'll ask you exactly how you dialed in a moment. But let's assume okay. For now that people will pick that up.
Right. So we found ourselves located here in Arizona, rented a house for a year, and went back to Spain to close up the apartment that we had in Oviedo. We were living in Oviedo in northern Spain at the time. And through a series of what appeared to be chance things, the people who were moving in needed in sooner, so we had to move out sooner. And we thought, well, okay, we'll travel around Spain, but we doused for it. We did muscle testing and thought, no, muscle testing shows us that we need to get back to the U.S. right now. So we scheduled it as soon as we could, and the next week we were flying. We got back to the United States just before everything closed up and had a house waiting for us. The van from the airport dropped us at our front door, and we went into a 15-day isolation because we didn't want to give anybody else COVID-19 if we had managed to be exposed while we were on the road. 15 days passed, no problem, and we have lived here now for a year. I have to tell you that maybe our landlord doesn't know this. In fact, I'm sure that our landlord doesn't know this, but we are actually giving up this house and moving back to Spain, at least temporarily, probably toward the end of this year, first of next year. But that's just what Dowsing is telling us to do. We are on a walkabout for the rest
yes,
of our lives.
Yes,
and this is
yes, you're walkabout people. It's remarkable. All right. Well, you've used the word dowsing many times. You said you douse on every issue. Some people who have never done dowsing or never observed someone do it will probably have a mental image of someone with a pair of rods or some twigs looking for water or something
sure.
like that. You explain the classical methods of dowsing in your book. You also explain a sort of no-nonsense colloquial version, which you call muscle testing, which I like because I'm low on instruments and rituals. I like things that are easy to do anywhere, including the supermarket, wherever you do them. So let me just give you the space for a while to explain what dowsing is for you and what muscle testing of the kind that you and Ellen do before you make decisions like moving house. What is that? How does muscle testing work?
Okay, sure. Of course, dowsing, a lot of people will associate dowsing with the traditional forked twig, which it still works, by the way. It works just fine. I have to tell you a little aside story there. When I had written an article about this book, a cousin of mine from Oklahoma called me up and said, "Did you know my daddy was a water witcher? Did you know that?" And water witching was what people call dowsing when they did it with the forked twig. Now, since then, there have been L rods, and I have a pair of L rods, and I use them. People use pendulum. We have several pendulum. We will use a pendulum if it seems appropriate. Or we do what we call muscle testing, which is the fancy word for that is applied kinesiology, which is what chiropractors will use to test to see if things are okay on your spine. We use all of those techniques and beyond that. We use, following your wonderful book on Sidewalk to Row, we look for signs and symbols all around us and take them seriously. I could tell you stories about that, which we can get to if you like right now.
Yeah, I love the way that you report in your own adventures that you do navigate by synchronicity. This is what the chiromancer word I made up, as you know, does in life. But the muscle testing, the dowsing, the rods, the original forked twig, one can also understand that there might be a sort of empathy, a sympathy between the wood and the land and the water. But as you get further away from that, you get away from that primal, you know, tree-based material, you get into, you know, checking your own muscle resistance and what your body's telling you. And you do this on all sorts of subjects like a house move or anything you want to know, or you checking out a map for which way you should go. When you think about how this works, is it because the body contains its own wisdom, or is simply the body twitching in response to something beyond the body? How do you understand this in terms of how you get these messages?
I think that any external tool is nothing but a tool. We have a whole set of senses which we lump together as the sixth sense or intuition that go beyond our five physical senses, and mostly we are taught to ignore those. We're taught that those things don't exist, we ignore them. Dowsing is simply bringing out our intuitive senses. And if you listen to your own intuition, you don't need any tools. And if a tool helps, and by the way, tools do help me to find out what I need to know, but it's all internal to us. It is our God-given.
That's a very helpful statement, Gary. I mean, a physical apport, a physical support, a physical, a physical aid to the procedure works well for most of us. Most of us, being somewhat grounded in the physical world, would like some physical sign or confirmation. As you talk about this, I think about my own relationships with tarot. I've known tarot all my life. I don't use it very much these days for my personal purposes. I have designed my own deck, not for publication, but for me, and taught it. At a certain point in my relations with tarot, I found I didn't actually need the cards, not any deck. The reading would be spread in my mind, and I would just,
yes.
I mean, if I was going to work with someone and I wanted to use tarot as a model of understanding, I would see the cards laid out, perhaps in a Celtic cross spread, maybe in a different spread, just be laid out in my mind. So it might be a little bit like that, mightn't it? There's something that can be supported by what happens on the physical planes, or actually even instigated, triggered by what happens on the physical planes, can also work without the need of the actual physical performance. So you go from the twig to the rod to holding each other's arm, to test muscle resistance, to doing something with your own hand for muscle testing, to even maybe going beyond that just into what is available through direct intuition.
Yes. A tool is simply a tool. And
right.
The secret I give away in the book, and I'll share it with you now, is what the tool does is it gets your conscious mind out of the way because you
yes.
Trust that tool, and then you allow your intuition to come through. That's all it is.
Yeah. I hear you. That is so well said and so important. You know, let's bring in your love of music. You're a composer. You're a wonderful teacher of music. You did wonderful imaginal games with your students, which they were greatly blessed in having you as a teacher to help them take themselves in their mind to the moment where the first composition has been performed on a stage and they're listening to the movement to bring it back. You write in your book, and you know in your life, that sound and vibration are incredibly important for you, and you have a sense of resonance, and you hear things in your mind, and you tell us at some point we want to picture ourselves sitting, holding down the right pedal of the piano, right? And letting
right.
the sounds come. I don't have your musical education. I mean, my great aunt's the famous opera singer. I can sing a bit off key. My youngest daughter is a pretty good violinist, but I don't have your depth of relationship with music. But tell us how resonance, vibration, music, sound relate to this kind of approach to life.
Well, in the first place, our sound environment is much more complex than we normally think of it. And resonance, I'll tell you a story about resonance.
Please.
We were in Malta, and there's a underground space in Malta called the Hypogeum. And there's a room in there that has a resonant frequency right around 110 hertz, the A at the bottom of the bass staff. And if you sound that, it just reverberates the entire space and puts you in an altered state of consciousness. Mm-hmm. I would go into that place and start humming that low note, and I would be in an altered state for the next 5 or 6 hours. Sound has a tremendous effect on us. That's partly probably because sound is frequency. Our brain waves are frequency that we, the sound can entrain our brain waves to particular frequencies. So it has a major effect. I think that the people who built the Hypogeum in Malta knew that and were using it consciously.
Very interesting. I've not been to the Hypogeum. I know about it. I've heard friends who've been there and had big experiences, but I haven't heard anybody with your musical depth of experience and vocabulary to explain just very simply how important that sound, that sonic effect, that resonance might be. My mind goes to the rock paintings, the pictographs of the bush people, bushmen of southern Africa, who often show scenes of what seems to be something shamanic going on with what looks like bees all over the surface, as if there's a buzzing or a humming sound that accompanies the shift in consciousness to a different space. That kind of thing would be familiar to you, probably.
Yes. And as a matter of fact, you know what the name, the word Malta actually refers to? It bees.
Mm. There we go.
And there's an area in Malta that was a home of many thousands of bees in a natural environment. I was in that space, and I heard the buzzing of the bees all through that space. And yes.
Have you done one of your places of power books about Malta?
Yes, we have a book called Powerful Places in Malta.
I need to read this. I've never been to Malta. I've had some connection with the bees. I don't consider myself particularly knowledgeable about this, but I've run into active traditions of, let's say, the bee shamans, the beekeepers, the bee mystics in the Baltic, for example, and in other places. And one of the big dream adventures of my life happened in the middle of the night long ago, when I felt in that place between sleep and awake that a whole swarm of bees had formed around me. I felt no difficulty, no fear. I let them fly me in my second body to a scene of the Epopteia, the showing forth of the great mysteries in ancient Greece. Ever since then, without being able to fully comprehend at the time, or now, I've understood that the bees have this incredible importance, and part of it perhaps is in this resonance, this humming, this ability to model and assist a shift in consciousness to a deeper realm. So resonance, resonance, resonance.
Well, get the book Powerful Places in Malta. There are 30-some huge stone temples on Malta, and the Hypogeum underground. The area that I was talking about with the bees is actually a large, in the southwest here it would be called an arroyo, with a temple in it from ancient times. Malta is an interesting place.
All right, I guess something to add to my bucket list, though, Gary. I must say, I'm a native, I'm an Australian from the country of the walkabout. I don't feel the need to be permanently on the road as much as you and your wife, Ellen, seem to do.
Most people don't.
I've traveled a certain amount, but, you know, I do feel the need to some extent to be at home in my castle, which, of course, I've had no option not to do for most of this year. So one of the interesting things about the areas we're getting into and the techniques we're discussing is, of course, we can travel without leaving home. That might be a somewhat a secondary thought to you as a world traveler you are. But I like the fact in my shutdown life over the past month that we can travel without leaving home in our dreams and in our adventures in the imaginal realm. And that's going to be a big theme when we pick up after the break, that we can travel without leaving home in dreaming, in imagination, in creative imagination. We're also going to talk to Gary But some important distinctions that he understands very well and explains very well in his book, The Tao Te Ching, the distinction between daydreams as mere daydreams and, for example, creative thinking, creative discovery. One of the differences you make, one of part of the discernment you teach, is that if it's an idle daydream, you have nothing to show for it. If it's something from which you can bring back a gift and apply it in life, then it's call it creative theory. Now, I must say, Gary, when I look at what you say about daydreaming, I must say to console people who think, oh, gee, I'm just a daydreamer. Well, daydreaming might be a bit like going to the matinee at the cinema. If you could go to the cinema in the middle of the day, or reading a beach book or something, you might just get, you know, out, drift away for a while happily, or, you know, satisfactorily from your regular
nothing
life. That might be okay.
Nothing wrong with daydreaming, but I
think nothing wrong with that.
Traveling.
Nothing wrong with that. Take your beach book. You can go to the beach, go to the cinema, matinee if you ever go to the cinema. You get, you know, give yourself a little treat, give yourself a little fun. So daydreaming might be good and relaxing in that sense. However, what you and I are going to talk about is something we are both enamored of, which is our ability to go to real places in real worlds of imagination, call them the imaginal realm, and bring back gifts that apply in life. We're talking to Gary White. His new book is, he's written many books, and with his wife Ellen, Places of Power books and other things. His new book is called The Dowsing Mind. The subtitle is Into the Multidimensional Realms and Back. And Gary, how do people find you on the Internet if they're looking for you? Just your name and The Dowsing Mind would probably do it, but is there a particular website?
Oh, we have a website, pilgrimsprocess.com.
Okay. We'll come back to, we'll give that again later on to make sure people have it. But Gary White, The Dowsing Mind, will probably get you, thanks to Auntie Google, where you need to go. You're listening to The Way of the Dreamer with Robert Marsh. We'll be back with Gary after the break.
Where can you find out about dreams and the dream world? MossDreams.com. At MossDreams.com, you can find out about Robert Moss, his work, and discover the way of the dreamer. Read numerous articles and essays on almost every facet of dreams. Find out Robert's class and workshop schedule. Read reviews and so much more. Visit MossDreams.com to find your way of the dreamer. That's MossDreams.com.
Robert Moss has a deep engagement with the dream world. And now you can take a crash course from this master of active dreaming at your own pace. That's right. You can get Robert's 8 exciting half-hour programs on a new DVD set called Way of the Dreamer. Share Robert's story as a dreamer and dream healer. This dynamic 3-DVD set can help teach you how to find your way through your dreams to realize your full potential. Don't wait to learn the practical dreamwork techniques that can help you understand how to attain better health, emotional stability, spiritual awareness, and more. Order Way of the Dreamer DVDs today from Amazon.com or MossDreams.com. That's MossDreams.com.
We're HealthyLife.net, reaching and helping a worldwide audience without hype, without shock, and without shenanigans.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Way of the Dreamer radio show. This is Robert Moss. We're talking with Gary White. His new book is The Dowsing Mind. I must mention, as pushy author, my new book is out, and it's called Growing Big Dreams, and you can get it now. And if you like the funny way I talk, you can actually hear an audio version narrated by me, Growing Big Dreams. Go look for it and go look for Gary. Gary, you and I are both greatly enamored of, you know, the idea that there is an imaginal realm, a real world of imagination where we can go, we can do things, we can actually help to co-create or birth, you know, things that can come about in this world. We can visit temples and schools and places of healing and initiation and adventure. And this has been known, of course, it's an open secret to mystics and mystery initiates and shamans and creators as far back as we can trace. And in your book, it's a little book, but there's a lot in it. You know, sometimes less is more. In your book, The Dowsing Mind, you actually take us in parts 3 and 4, in particular, into these realms, and you give us some suggestions for how people can become imaginauts, to use the word you and Ellen gave us. You also caution us along the way that there might be some safety protocols to consider. You know, there might be bad neighborhoods out there as well as good ones. You need to know how to handle yourself. So let me just give you the space for a while to talk about what it means to you to be an imaginaut, what it means to you to take your dowsing mind into the realms of true imagination and bring something back.
Okay. I spent the first half or so of my life, I don't know what half is, I don't know how long my life is, but I spent the first part of my life as a composer of music, and the primary technique that I used as a composer, I discovered by reading a little book on self-hypnosis. I would put myself into a little bit of a trance, and I find that the musical ideas flowed perfectly, smoothly that way, and that was my secret method for composing. What I realized after doing this for years is that I was really going to a different place, which I call the imaginal realm or the multidimensional realm. It is, for me, a different place. If for you that it feels better to talk about it as a state of mind, that's fine. But for me, it is a real place. And when I read in history, people have known about these places throughout history. And I have gone to these places. Some of these places are so often visited that they have standard names. You know, the Akashic Record, the library. There are places that have been visited by so many people for so long that they have an actual existence in that realm, and people can go to them. Now, I say I've been, for most of my life, a business traveler. I've been visiting these places to bring back, in the first place, music. And later on, I wrote a whole series of textbooks in the field of music. And I did those textbooks entirely from this international realm. When I started learning to douse, I found it was very familiar territory. All I had to do was go to that multidimensional realm, which now I'm calling the dowsing mind. The dowsing worked perfectly well. The way in is to get your rational left brain out of the way, and then that realm comes right through, and I travel back and forth all the time now, and for most of my life. So that's what the multidimensional realm has been for me. It's the place where creativity is easy. I get down. I do a lot of dreaming. And I get what I call downloads. I'll wake up in the morning and I'll have something that I've got to get down, whether it's a musical composition or whether it's something I'm writing. I'll get downloads. And the ideas are coming through from that space. And when I read about great scientists like Einstein, he did what he called thought experiments, and he got the whole theory of relativity as a thought experiment, and then came back to his rational left brain and worked it out mathematically. But the idea for it came from the imaginal realm, from that
right.
multidimensional realm.
Right. Well, as you were talking, Gary, I had this delicious little image of you flying through through the air, wearing goggles and a sort of leather pilot's cap from a long time ago, holding a twig in front of you, basically flying Superman style, but holding a twig in front of you, and coming down into this enchanted environment, a lot of water, producing different sounds, different kinds of streams of water, little cascades, there are waterfalls and bubbling springs. So there are many different sounds, much music of water, and you're coming down there, and then you're, you know, writing it all down, taking the download and bringing it back. So there's my little vignette of you as you were speaking to us. I love your description of receiving the downloads. I love the way you write about being embarked on a composition or some project and waiting for the next installment, the next download to be given to you in a passage of dreaming or something close to dreaming. Graham Greene, the famous English novelist who called himself an entertainer, was a great entertainer, used to do the same thing writing novels. He'd come to a point where he was sort of stymied and understanding where to go with the plot or what dialogue to give the characters next, and he'd dream on it, and then he'd get up from the dream and he'd have the next segment, or he'd have the segment that was missing and what he left unfinished, and just go on like that. I think some writers are able to do that. I always think that musicians and artists have it easier, because I always think, not being a musician, although I do dabble a bit in drawing and painting, I always think that it might be less work to bring through, you know, a short composition or a picture than to bring through a full-fledged book, but it might work the same way for all of us. I mean, dreaming is so central to all of this. I mean, in dreaming, many people in our culture don't understand this that you do. I mean, in dreaming, we get out there, we travel around, we go to other realms, we meet other people, we have, you know, experiences, we enter fields of action and interaction with other beings. Departed, wise ancestors and teachers, you know, other dreamers, and, you know, from all of this, a great creative convergence might be accessible and might be brought through. So thank you for talking to us about that. You do mention that I made a note reading your book. I just wrote down the word safety. You talk about the need to have some safety protocols for people who are boldly or but maybe without much practice or preparation going into these different realms. That's something I'd like to talk to you after the break, the issue of, you know, what are some safety suggestions for people who are going to become frequent flyers into the imaginal realms and might even graduate with enough frequent flyer points to becoming a business traveler like you. I love that phrase, by the way. Why not travel to the other realms, first class or business class? We're going to Gary White. Isn't it a delightful conversation right now? Now, when many of us feel a little bit frustrated, perhaps a little bit oppressed, by not being able to travel in the ordinary world as much as we like, though I notice that Gary and his wife still seem to be getting around this earth better than many of us. His new book is The Dowsing Mind, subtitled Into the Multidimensional Realms and Back. And we'll give you his website again before the end of the show. This is Robert Moss. Don't forget to check out my new book, Growing Big Dreams. We'll be back after the break.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
Welcome back. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer. This is Robert Moss, two books to mention again. My new book, Growing Big Dreams, Manifesting Your Heart's Desires Through 12 Secrets of the Imagination. Yummy. And my dear friend Gary White's new book, The Dowsing Mind. Check both of them out. And let me say, playing pushy presenter for a moment, I'm about to launch a new course, new online course for the Shift Network. You can tune in for the free online event announcing it on Halloween, woohoo, and we'll be dreaming beyond the veil in terms of our ability of contacting the departed and having useful conversation. And in terms of the way that dreaming in general lifts the veil, lifts the curtain of ordinary perception and takes us to a deeper place. And that'll be followed by a course starting in November. All right, Gary, one of the essential things you mentioned in your book, and it is essential, is that people are getting out there, learning to travel beyond the body, beyond ordinary reality into other realms. And you have some sense that there are bad neighborhoods as well as good neighborhoods, some sense of boundaries, some sense of how to look after themselves, and you touch on this in your book. What do you have to say about this from your personal experience?
About safety? Yeah.
About safety. About safety for... Imagine all safety for people who are going to travel into these deeper realms. We don't want to project fear into people's minds, but you raise the issue yourself.
Well, I use your technique exclusively, practically.
This is a very good answer. You get extra karmic points.
Yes. Of course, you start and end every session in your teaching with a little invocation, would you say?
Well, it's not little, and since you raise it, let's say it right now. We didn't do it at the start of the show because we're not actually inviting people to journey in this show. We're not doing, but I would always do it in any program where we're going to go on a journey in consciousness, and it goes like this. And let me preface it, following what Gary said, by saying that in my personal mythology, but also in the traditions of, you know, most humans across time and history, there is some power, a sacred power in life that opens and closes the doors for Indus Ganesha. For other cultures, it's someone else. The Greeks, it might be Hermes or Hecate or both. And, you know, or Anubis in Egypt. I mean, the gatekeeper is a figure that, the sacred figure, revered as a deity in many traditions, that opens and closes your paths in life. I address this figure in a universal way, so I'm not asking people to sign up for any belief system. And I say it every morning of my life. I will say it in my own way, every morning of my life, and I'll say it in a simplified, shortened way to lead any group into the adventure. I'll say it like this. I'll make some announcement what we're doing. We're going into the dreaming. We're going to travel to the other side and come back. We're going to go to the imaginal realm and meet master teachers and return. And then I might say, as we embark on this journey, may our doors and gates and paths be open, and our doors and gates and paths between the worlds. And may the doors and gates and paths of any who wish to do us or those we love any harm be closed. May it be so. So, Gary, you very wisely included this in your book, and you know as I do it works. It really works. I mean, you are invoking.
It really does.
An agency to screen and protect
that,
you. That comes into play.
I trust that implicitly. I use it absolutely regularly, as you do. I have a few others, but this one is my standard go-to. And I believe that we have the power of protecting ourselves from anybody who would have malicious intent. And there are people on our plane who have malicious intent and are going out into these realms with malicious intent. And there are also entities in these realms that may have malicious intent. And I find that that little invocation just a wonderful way closing the door to anybody who has malicious intent for me, and, as you say, for those we love. So that is my standard go-to. I quote you thoroughly in the book, as you know by now.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you. It's so wise and so simple. And I'm not saying this in a self-congratulatory way, but I will say this. I like things to be as simple as possible. I mean, some of us have a sense of past lives, histories in other places, etc. And most of my sense of connection with past lives, with other Roberts who might have lived some other costume before me, they're too often men of power, men of hierarchy, you know, sometimes men of secrets. And I've decided in this life I want to be as open and simple as possible. I want to give people things that they can use where they live. And I don't want to keep anything secret that does not really need to be kept secret. There are things that need to be kept secret because, as Dryden once wrote, secrets are edged tools that must be kept from children and from fools. So there are fools, the secrets that have to be held back because you simply have to know how to handle them, just as you don't put an automobile in the hands of, you know, a five-year-old child who can't reach the pedals. So there are secrets of that kind that have to be held back for the safety of those who might not know how to use them. But by and large, I like knowledge and practice to be couched and presented in as simple a way as possible. And you mentioned Einstein. I like what Einstein said when he remarked that if it isn't simple, if I can't explain something simply, I don't understand it well enough. Explaining something simply, if you are a world-changing scientist, might require bring your audience up to speed with a few terms that aren't part of their ordinary vocabulary, but you're still hopefully going to do as simply as you're possible. And this is one of the great things about your book, The Tao of Being Mind. It's simple. It's really simple. And it's got the stuff that might initially, if you don't, you know, haven't thought about it, might sound a bit old-fashioned and quirky. By the way, I've been to a Taoist conference. I was once the keynote speaker at a Taoist conference up in the Northwest. I think it was in Northern Vermont, I think that's where it was. I can't quite remember now. It was somewhat up near
that's
the Kennedy.
That's where the Dowling Society in the U.S. is, yes, in Vermont.
It was actually right on the Canadian border. It was held in some kind of hall, maybe a town hall or post office. If you stood at one end of the hall, you're in Canada. The other side, you're in the United States. I remember that element. Anyway, we had lots of Dowsers. I mean, some of them quite elderly people, very traditional Dowsers. But they were people of open mind and weren't, and they did their thing, but they also were interested in learning how to shift the mind beyond, you know, what's in the ground, beyond the clouds, what's the world behind the world, which is where you take us in your book. So much to talk about. We're going to come back after the break. I think I want to ask you, Gary, about your own dream life, including your life of daydreaming and your life of hypnagogia, what comes in those in-between states. Whether you have some daily practice involving that, and I'll talk a little bit about my current daily practice in relation to the dream realms, because as we know, everybody, you know, whatever their attitude, has access any night, any day, if they take naps, to the realm of dreams where so much becomes available. So let's reserve our last 8-minute segment to talk about the dream life and our relation to it, and whether there is a daily practice we would recommend to people in relation to it. Our wonderful guest is Gary White. His new book is The Dowsing Mind. This is Way of the Dreamer. We'll be back out for a short break.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Welcome back. This is Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. I'm going to talk to Gary White, our guest, also the Dowsing Mind, dreamer, teacher of active dreaming, amongst many other things, about daily practice in relation to, sustaining yourself with the help of sources beyond the obvious. And Gary, my most essential daily practice, I realize, over many decades, has been to write something in my journal every day. That is central for me. What I usually write first is some dream report or something like that, something from sleep dreams, something from that in-between state of hypnagogia. But if I don't have something from there, I'll write something anyway. That actually, for me, has been sustaining. I notice if I fall off that practice of writing something in my journal every day, then I am pretty quickly in trouble, and it becomes, the writer, it's a sort of workout, a gentle workout. So the practice is writing in my journal. These days, I'm often sort of lying in bed at some funny hour because I have no body clock and things come to me at different hours. I'll often be lying in bed actually tapping on my phone, the dream report or the dream elements that are with me, and that becomes the first thing that's going to go in my journal. What is your daily practice? I mean, as a man on permanent walkabout, it might be, to go to the valley beyond the hill. I don't know. What is your daily practice?
Okay. What I have done through most of my life is I'm almost always working on a project. I have something that I'm doing, whether it's writing a piece of music or writing a book or writing an article. What my usual practice is I will spend some time right at the time I'm going to bed, looking through that, maybe reading through it, or if it's a composition, I will follow it in my mind. I can hear the music in my mind up to the point where it fades away. I go to sleep immediately after that, and I almost always continue in my dream life with what I'm working on. The music may flow on during the night, and I wake up in the morning and I know how to go about the next part of the piece. That has been just my usual modus operandi, if you will. And it works very well for me. And I use not just my night dreaming to do that, but if I am working on something, I'll take a little nap, and I'll get in that hypnagogic state, which is a nice word for that place in between waking and sleeping. And I may or may not drift from there into sleep, but I'll use a nap, a time when I'm lay down and close my eyes, and I'm working still. In fact, I at first wondered many years ago, am I not getting any sleep here at all, because it seems like I'm awake all the time. And yet I'd get up in the morning and I'd have full energy and be able to work during the day. And it was only when I studied with you, actually, that I fully understood what that state was, which is lucid dreaming. And in that lucid dreaming state, the body is getting its rest. You're getting your rest. Hey, it's
exactly.
Killing two birds with one stone, right?
Exactly. I mean, there are phases of deep, let's say, industrial sleep, which the body might need to restore itself,
yeah.
And any of us might need some hours like that, but we don't necessarily need a solid period of 6, 7, 8 hours of industrial sleep. I mean, this in-between state, 50 state, hypnagogic state, twilight zone, place between sleep and awake, liminal state, threshold state, all words for it. The space between sleep and awake is just such a great place to become a lucid dreamer or a liminal dreamer. And things come and go, and, they might come so fast if you're not used to this that you don't know how to work with it. William James said that in 10 minutes you'll see 1,000 images in this hypnagogic zone. And I don't think he's exaggerating. If you're just letting images come and go, flicker by, it might be as vast and as difficult to catch as that. But then things will settle down, or maybe you set yourself an assignment, a project, as you tend to do, it seems. And then things will stabilize, and then you might stay with a particular scene, a landscape forms, an encounter begins, and you stay with it. And the thing for people to know is that this is an incredibly creative, incredibly intuitive, incredibly psychic state of being where so many good things have happened. It's a place where traditionally a kind of healing, imaginal healing, can happen. If you went to the ancient temple of Asclepius, ancient Hellenic world, it would come, the healing would come. The divine healer would appear in this in-between state between sleep and awake. Scientists have made their creative connections in this space, in our lives, at the moment when we can entertain contact and conversation with inner and transpersonal guides. And as you know, it's a great place to advance and continue a creative project. So I think one of the most important things to know about what we're discussing in general, the whole spectrum of dreaming and imagination, is we want to be more available in these in-between states, these hypnagogic states. Certainly the most important conversations of my life have taken place in this zone. And, you know, I guess I'm not as disciplined as you, Gary. I don't necessarily lie down with a particular project in sight. I'm always happy to see the birth of a new project, but often I would just lie down open to what the night or the afternoon gives me, because I love naps too. And it gives so much. It gives so much. It's just a permanent adventure. So for those of us who like to travel, you know, we can travel this world, as Gary and Ellen do with their Place of Power books, as I used to do. Before the shutdown, I used to travel. When I revised my new book, Gary, Growing Big Dreams, nearly all written before the pandemic was upon us, I found I had to change very little because it was somehow, you know, perfectly attuned to where we are. But one thing I had to change was the tenses, because I start telling some of my stories, they say, I travel 6 months of the year, so I had to revise that. When I travel 6 months of the year.
Right.
Putting all those travels in the past tense, but just to revert to a theme which I think is very important for people right now. Yes, you might be able to get about. Yes, you might be lucky enough to live in wonderful places in nature where social distancing, et cetera, is no problem at all. Yes, you might get in your car, drive hundreds of miles. But whatever your situation, you do have the ability to travel without any restrictions, without any social distancing, without any masks, without any restraint except ones you impose on yourself, and you can do that in dreaming and imagination, as Gary and I are talking about, and that is a great gift in these shutdown times.
Yes, and you can travel.
In fact, Gary, I said one of the main things of getting me through this year. Sorry, what did you say?
You can travel through time.
Exactly. You travel through time, not just across space, and not just across geographical space. I mean, you can go to somewhere in this world or some counterpart version of it. But, of course, you can go to other realities. And like Gary, I agree, when you travel to those other realms, they're not simply states of consciousness. They have their own reality, and sometimes they even seem to have their own physics, I mean, their own physical laws. I mean, I've been to other realities where you cannot jump off a mountain, though we hear you can do that in dreams, because you'd break yourself
a
bit. You might be able to do athletic things you couldn't do in your regular body. Like the characters in Avatar, you might be able to ride something like a dragon, but you can't just jump off a mountain because it's got its own physics. You better watch out. So, and science tells us that at least some versions of physics tells us these things are entirely possible. Super string theory, multiple worlds, and so on. Well, we have the ability, as Gary reminds us, and as I try to teach people all the time, go there and bring back our first-hand reports. There's no substitute for first-hand experience. It is an immense adventure. And Gary White is one of those who encourages us to become bolder imaginauts, learn more for ourselves, and bring back gifts. The book of his that we're talking about is The Dowsing Mind. What is your website again, Gary?
Pilgrims, as in Pilgrim's Progress, but it's Pilgrim's Process.
Pilgrim's Process, or if you have my kind of...
So we took process as our version of pilgrimage. Pilgrimsprocess.com.
Pilgrimsprocess.com, so .com. So if you've got my kind of accent, you would say Pilgrim's Process, and we have people my kind of accent who are listening to. So Pilgrim's Process or Pilgrimsprocess.com. You'll find Gary, you'll find his wife Ellen, you'll find their adventures, and you'll find his book, The Dowsing Mind. All right, we have to pause for our last break. We'll be back really just to say, you know, keep dreaming and carry on. Mouse. This is Robert Mouse. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com, mossdreams.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Well, thank you for joining the adventure. Thank you, Gary White, for sharing your adventures as an Imaginaut in many realms, your dowsing mind, and how it's guided you in this world and beyond it. And
well, it's fun talking to you as always.
And good luck with the new book and with so much else and with the relocation back to Spain when the time comes. I hope to see you there, if not in Arizona. So to everybody listening and playing with us, go check out our books. Go and find my new book, Growing Big Dreams. Go and find Gary White's book, The Dowsing Mind. And from now until next time, may your best dreams come true. And may you remember.